From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The U.S. Supreme Court has erased a long-standing limit on corporate money in politics. NPR's Peter Overby reports.
In a 5-4 decision, the court says corporations can spend as much as they want, whenever they want, to advocate for or against candidates. The decision overturns an existing law that prohibited direct corporate involvement in partisan politics. One limit remains intact. Corporations still cannot give money directly to federal candidates or national party committees. The ruling comes in a case involving a film that attacked Hillary Clinton in the last presidential campaign. The film's producer, a group called Citizens United, argued that it was unfair to stifle corporate free speech. Advocates of tighter restrictions say corporations now will be able to force politicians into line, with the threat of massive negative ad campaigns if the politicians don't cooperate. Peter Overby, NPR News, Washington.
The newest member of the Senate, Scott Brown, is getting a whirlwind of introductions on Capitol Hill, where his vote could make the difference on landmark health care legislation. Brown, a Republican, won Tuesday's special election to fill the seat left vacant by the late Democratic Senator Edward Kennedy. Losing that seat further complicates the Democrats' efforts to push through a health care overhaul bill. The American Red Cross is vowing to be transparent about the way it's spending the money people donate to Haiti relief. To that end, the Red Cross says that as of yesterday, the public has pledged $137 million. Most of the donors are from the U.S. In the U.S., initial claims for unemployment benefits in the economy rose by 36,000 last week, something analysts had not expected. But the federal government says the increase was due more to the administration than economics. NPR's Frank Langfitt explains.
The Labor Department's weekly unemployment claims provide a snapshot of the job market, and the government acknowledges an inexact one at that. Last week, claims rose to 482,000, but the Labor Department downplayed the increase. Officials say it came largely from claims that hadn't been processed over the holidays. Overall, first-time claims have been declining for months, but unemployment continues to be a big problem. The unemployment rate stands at 10%, and many economists expect it to rise. Government data also shows that more people are staying unemployed longer. Beside the pain it causes those out of work, unemployment could have considerable political implications this year. Midterm elections are coming in November, and the Democrats control both the White House and Congress. Frank Langfitt, NPR News, Washington.
On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 211 points at 10,392. NASDAQ down now more than 30 points at 2,261. This is NPR News. Defense Secretary Robert Gates is trying to reassure skeptics in the Pakistani government that the U.S. is committed to a long-term alliance with the South Asian nation and has absolutely no desire to occupy.
We have no intention or desire to take over any of Pakistan's nuclear weapons. We have no desire to occupy any part of Pakistan or split up any part of Pakistan. We have no intent to split the Islamic world. And I can keep going because we're aware of these conspiracy theories as much as anyone. And they're all nonsense.
Gates speaking today from Islamabad. The Environmental Protection Agency is taking public comment on a range of options for the second stage of a billion-dollar cleanup. As NPR's Elizabeth Shogren reports, the cleanup targets a huge coal ash spill that happened over a year ago at the Tennessee Valley Authority's Kingston plant.
The report was prepared for TVA. It says high levels of arsenic and other toxins from the coal ash threaten the plant's neighbors and the nearby environment. All three cleanup alternatives would remove massive amounts of coal ash from a large cove of the Emory River that covers 100 acres. Two alternatives would take the coal ash to a landfill off-site, and the third would store it at the Kingston plant. That would cost the least, but would be difficult to engineer. Environmentalists think it's a bad idea to try to put the coal ash back in the storage pit that failed so disastrously. The report says there would be short-term risks to the public to transport so much coal ash by road or rail. The report says all three alternatives would protect people and the ecology over the long term. Elizabeth Shogren, NPR News, Washington.
I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News, in Washington.